Michelle, let me know when you're ready.
All right, good morning. I'll go ahead and call us to order for the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, September 1st, 2015, and ask if everyone please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you again, and good morning. First item is public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to address item topics on today's agenda. We have one request. Arden Greiner would like to talk about annexing is what I have here. Arden, you want to do it now?
Yep.
Come on up. Arden, while we all know you, start by introducing yourself so we have it for the record. Yeah, absolutely. We're high tech.
From Sherman Township. Don't need any answers today, but Urban Friends development plan would lead to annexing, I think. Sometime I'd like to hear explanations on how the taxing goes when it goes from county property to city property, the percentages the county gets, the percentages the city gets. And if you got a quick answer, I'll...
I can give you a real rough answer. Lisa Markley is not in here right now, and she's the one to give you the hard and fast answer. But I believe that if it, and this is real general terms, Arden, Paul, help me through this, if it's located within a city, if a piece of property is located within the city, county is about 23% of those taxes within the city. And if it's just an unincorporated area, I think we're more like in the 35 to 36%.
I think that's right.
And I may be a little off, Arden, but those are close general numbers.
Yeah, that's good enough.
All right. Thanks, Arden. Next item is consideration of proclamation for September as National Recovery Month. Our friend Jason Agnew. Hi, Jason.
How are you guys?
Good, man. How you doing?
Wonderful. It is September, guys. Can you believe that? I'm here with our partners from Community Family Resources. As you know, we serve addiction for kids. They're the adult partner with us, and we always partner to do a lot of activities around National Recovery Month, and you guys have been huge supporters of recognizing September as national, not only Addiction Recovery Month, but Mental Health Recovery Month. So we just wanted to highlight a couple of activities we have coming up this year. To listen to the proclamation, because it's great how supportive you've been as the Board of Supervisors and how supportive this community has been for all of us. So just a couple of things before Sally says a few things as well. I'm going to personally invite you to an event we're having on September 17th at Youth Recovery House, and I'll hand these out to you guys, that we're going to have a tent out in front of Youth Recovery House again this year, have an open house there, and have some youth speaking about their experiences in recovery, which is great. I'm also going to leave you a flyer for Youth Mental Health First Aid. I've talked to you guys about the importance of community education around both mental health issues and awareness, dealing with stigma. And we, of course, have several trainings coming up that the county's been kind enough to fund through the mental health region for both adult and youth-focused mental health first aid. Again, it would be great to see the three of you there. I hear you're all mentoring now, so obviously someone here has a lot more pull than I do. But I would love to see you.
It's all about the timing, Jason.
I guess it is. That's what I hear. But I would love to have you guys come to one of those events. And then we'll be doing a number of other things as well. But I just want to thank you guys again. And I know CFR has a big event coming up that they'd like to talk to you about. So, Sally?
Yeah, well, first of all, on behalf of CFR, I'd like to thank the Board of Supervisors for your support of proclaiming September as Recovery Month. And the more that we can continue to bring light to the importance of behavioral health to one's overall health, the more we can help break down that stigma that this is seeking treatment. Just to note, in the last fiscal year, CFR provided services to over 2,900 individuals for mental health, substance abuse, and problem gambling treatment services. Of those, 845 were Story County residents. So, again, your proclamation and your public support of this issue really means something to each and every one of those individuals in our community. Like Jason mentioned, we do have our third annual Walk for Wellness, Race for Recovery event coming up on September 26th. This is at Ada Hayden Park. So this is an opportunity really to just celebrate people who are in recovery for mental health or substance use disorders. It's for all ages, all abilities. So we would certainly like to extend our formal invitation open to the community to join us at that event.
Super, thank you. Thank you for being here today. Let's read the proposed proclamation in and then see if we can get some action on it. Whereas, behavioral health is an essential part of health and one's overall wellness, and whereas prevention of mental health and or substance abuse disorders works, treatment is effective, and people recover in our area and around the nation, and whereas preventing and overcoming mental and or substance abuse disorders is essential to achieving healthy lifestyles both physically and emotionally, and whereas we must encourage relatives and friends of people with mental and or substance abuse disorders to implement preventive measures, recognize the signs of a problem, and guide those in need to appropriate treatment and recovery support services, and whereas in 2012, 2.5 million people aged 12 or older received specialty treatment for substance abuse disorder, and 34.1 million adults aged 18 or older received mental health services, according to the 2012 National Survey on Drug Use and Health. Given the serious nature of this public health problem, we must continue to reach the millions more who need help, and whereas to help more people achieve and sustain long-term recovery, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, the White House Office of Drug Control Policy, and the Story County Supervisors invite all residents to participate in National Recovery Month, and now, therefore, the Story County Board of Supervisors hereby proclaims the month of September as National Recovery Month.
I'll move approval of the proclamation.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion. Two.
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. It passes. Thank you very much. We doing a photo op?
Require a photo.
All right.
No, Rick. That's how it is. Please, if you would.
It's publicized and I have to buy a coffee. I'm going to come to you and ask.
So I don't know if you want us to do a new one.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's
no problem.
Buy a coffee. I'm going
to
give
you guys a copy of these.
So, if CFR wants to split
half the coffee,
that'll
be fine.
See if
Mark
can pull the whole thing, Wayne.
I figured, you know, put me up if your new CFO going to put me on the spot, I'll just come back.
Wait, somebody has to hold the proclamation, Wayne.
You guys can have
here.
It.
Well, yeah. Somebody in the middle has to hold it.
Yep.
Wayne, you look good holding stuff like that. How's that?
I'll help you.
There you go.
Okay. Are you guys ready? I'm going to take two pictures, by the way. One. I'm just double checking to make sure it's clear.
Absolutely. Leanne, you need anything?
All right.
Okay. All right. Leanne's got to pick one.
You know the drill.
Thank you. Next item is consideration of minutes from August 25th.
Move approval.
Second. A motion and second. Any additions or corrections? Clinton?
Aye.
Two?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Minutes passed. Consideration of personnel actions. One whole personnel action this week.
Move approval.
Second. Motion and second. Clinton?
Aye.
Two?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Consent agenda. Bored with the rain we got last week. Please add road closure 1609 through 1629.
Move approval with noted additions.
Second.
Motion and a second. Two.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda passes. Public hearing item. Third, consideration of Ordinance 241, amending Ordinance 161, standards for roads, road identification and address numbering system. All right.
Yep. Again, this is third consideration of the ordinance amendment request to rename West 4th Street and Southwest 4th Street to 3rd Street, respectively. We have not received any other concerns or questions regarding this amendment change since your last hearing. So, respectively, request a motion.
Remind me how many addresses this affects?
Nine in total addresses will be required to change. And like I said, the last meeting is looking at it. Only four of those addresses have their mailing address at those addresses.
Super. Board, questions? Motion?
Motion. Move approval of...
Wait, you have to...
Yeah, well, I've got to do the public hearing first. All right. Any question before we open the public hearing?
No.
We're opening the public hearing on Ordinance 241. If there's anyone wishing to address Ordinance 241, now's the time. Seeing no one moving the microphone, we'll close the public hearing, and now I'll turn to the board.
Move approval of Ordinance Number 241, amending Ordinance Number 161 for road identification and address numbering system, as proposed.
Second. Motion and second. Further discussion. Clinton?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Ordinance 241 is adopted. Thanks, Shell.
Shelly, this microphone over here is fresh and red.
And we might just note that it was adopted on third consideration.
Put this one over there and I'll stay close to the microphone.
Okay, they could have just touched it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Touchy.
Okay.
And touchy. Additional items. Discussion and consideration to initiate the process for changes in the AIM to the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. We've got our friend Charlie from Ames. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Thanks for coming over.
Thanks for the opportunity.
I just wanted to start out by kind of outlining what you're likely already aware of as per our 28 intergovernmental agreement that we have with the City of Ames and City of Gilbert. It's outlined in that agreement how amendments to the Ames Urban Fringe Plan are handled. Here's where we're at in the meeting. We've already had a joint application meeting with the City of Ames and Gilbert regarding this request. Now we're to the point where prior to the application, you consider the request for a proposed change. So this isn't actually reviewing the amendment request at this point, but if you approve today to take the amendment further, we would get together with the City of Ames and Gilbert and prepare and coordinate a joint staff report, at which point it would go to the Planning and Zoning Commission for their review, and then they would make a recommendation to you to consider the actual amendment request. It's my understanding that there's still some details that are being fleshed out on the city's end regarding this amendment request, and then I've had Charlie here that he can kind of provide details on these proposed changes for you today.
Super. Charlie, take us through the East Industrial Area. What ground are we talking about out there?
We're talking about most of the land between the City of Ames border, which is more or less I-35, includes the Barilla and a couple other bump outs on the east side of the interstate. But it would take us to a 590 street. If you remember, we have a moratorium on annexation agreement with Nevada that kind of delineates 590th as a kind of the meeting point of the two cities, if you will. We have had a lot of discussion in the past two or three years about the creation of an industrial area around that, around the Lincoln Highway corridor, essentially between Lincoln Highway and the railroad tracks. That extends much further than our existing land use designation of planned industrial. Much of that area is identified in the Urban Fringe Plan as industrial reserve, which means the long-term interest of the city would be to annex and allow development for industrial purposes. We want to kind of jumpstart some of that industrial reserve and turn it into industrial. The City Council has been working on CIP projects to bring sanitary sewer to the other side of the interstate. We've been in discussion with Central Iowa Rural Water on buyout of the service territory. Ames Economic Development Commission is also interested in, and I believe has been out there looking for future tenants, future developments in that area. So while we don't have the exact boundaries identified, it most likely would extend all the way to 590th, meet up with the DuPont plant out there. And it would be initially probably between Lincoln Highway and the railroad tracks for the planned industrial designation. The industrial reserve would probably also be enlarged to include areas to maybe as much as a half mile north of East 13th Street to as much as a half mile south of US 30. Way more industrial development than we would need for the next 30 years, but as I tell people, the world doesn't end at the end of the plan. The world will continue, and we just need
set the stage for the next long-range planning efforts.
Super. Charlie, I'd be interested to get your impression, and I want to share with the board. I believe that this has potential to develop in a way that I think is not customary for cities, in that normal growth pattern for a city would be to grow from its borders out, which would mean going from Barilla and moving east kind of one step at a time. The issue here is the infrastructure and the synergy in that area seems to lie around Lincoln Way Energy and DuPont. And so it seems to me that there is a very, very good chance that we could see this one grow in the opposite direction, meaning it would grow basically from DuPont, cross 590th, and head back to the west toward the city of Ames. Charlie, I'd like to get your take on that if you think that's a fair assessment.
Well, explain across 590th. You mean 590th to...
Right now 590th is where DuPont is. What the city of Ames is talking about is ultimately annexing all the way out to 590th. So everything from 590th to Barilla would become city of Ames. But the normal growth pattern, Wayne, is to kind of grow from the city out. So in this case, from west to east. This one, I just believe there's a very good chance it could grow from east to west, kind of back into the city.
And that's kind of the approach that Nevada took when they went out there and initially annexed for the ethanol plant. It is interesting that, I guess, the bulk of the city of Ames and the bulk of the city of Nevada are about 4 miles apart. They will have this industrial corridor that comes together 2 miles away from each city, but it's in the middle. You know, the Union Pacific Railroad track, I think, is a valuable asset out there. Mm-hmm. And I know the ethanol and two ethanol plants have taken advantage of that. The ability to use that for transportation infrastructure, I think it makes this a very attractive site. We've got north-south connections we need to consider at grade crossings and all those intersections right now. Does that need to change? We're looking at the extensions of sanitary sewer and water out there. If a city's going to annex an area and allow economic development, it does need to provide full city services. So we have to start looking at the long-range budgeting of those services as well as police and fire response out to that area. Mm-hmm. So it's a planning challenge, but I think there's some great opportunities for the city and for the county as a whole.
Two questions initially. One, because most of this land, I assume, is still agricultural land at this point, do you foresee going through voluntary annexation or involuntary annexation if you get potential suitors? That's the first question. The second question relates to the role the public would have in terms of the type of industrial development that we might want to see in this corridor.
The city traditionally has a policy of doing voluntary annexations. I can't think of an instance where we've ever done an involuntary. We have done what we call an 80-20 consenting, and I know a former staff member who worked with the city and the chamber made a lot of contacts out there. It seemed to indicate that they had probably close to 90-95% of the people at that time, 2 years ago, willing to seek annexation. It is mostly industrial land. There is a couple of farmsteads, homesteads, and a couple of businesses out there. I think we can accommodate them and provide whatever protections are needed until they are willing sellers and developers out there. If they choose not to ever develop, it might be an opportunity lost, but we certainly respect their wishes. We will start doing those contacts again to see what kind of interest there is in a voluntary annexation. Mm-hmm. Our goal is 100%. I don't think that's ever been achievable in the long term, especially for an annexation of this large, but we'll talk to everybody out there and just engage their interest. As far as types of development, I guess there are three people that need to be at that table. There's the property owner themselves. Who do they want to sell to? Who do they want to offer their land and for what type of development? There's the Ames area, or Ames Economic Development Commission, has some role in encouraging industrial development. And then there's the City of Ames. What's the Planning Commission and the City Council going to support for zoning and development activities out there? So I don't have an answer for that at this point.
Now, the other question probably is would be a moot point, but if this would move forward and become a part of the City of Ames through the industrial framework, any infrastructure, roads and surrounding areas that generally would come under the county auspices would no longer be the county's responsibility. I'm assuming. Would that be a fair assessment?
That'd be correct.
And so you could do similar to what you do now, is if there needed to be infrastructure things, improvement, it could be a cooperative agreement between the City of Ames and the developers for some of the infrastructure of roads in and around to address those facilities.
Yes.
Right.
The city's policy has always been developer pays for the infrastructure.
Right.
It may include, I can see a role for the city in some of those, for the county in areas where we, for example, annex to the center line of a road.
Right.
We have a shared maintenance agreement where you might share some of the maintenance, your snow plows may clear a lane of city street, but those are kind of limited situations. But the expectation is, the city would work with the developer on a time frame for the installation of all necessary utilities. I believe the city has, in the capital improvements program, though, the cost of getting the sanitary sewer under the interstate to the east side of the interstate. That's a lump sum that there's no recoverable cost because we can't develop the interstate. So how do we get that 200, 300 feet of sewer to the other side of the interstate?
Mm-hmm. Well, I heard you mention sewer, and I heard you mention working with Central Iowa Water. Obviously, fire protection becomes a very important component as you expand in this particular area, and I'm sure that would be something that the city would need to be trying to address in terms of its ability to respond in the event development did occur, further east. But the process, if I'm understanding, in order to move forward with the urban fringe or the framework, we would need to, this is the first of the process,
mm-hmm.
and then it goes to ultimately P&Z and their involvement from the county standpoint, and then a recommendation would come to us. In previous years, when the county and the city and Gilbert entered into any type of urban fringe concepts, there were also some meetings held at council chamber where the three entities were involved as we began to lay out some of these things. Is that part of one of the proposals that may or may not need to happen at this time? Simply because we've already got the framework in place. So, that's why I'm just wondering that maybe we wouldn't necessarily have to have that component.
It's not necessary for this, as outlined in our Toyota agreement,
right.
A joint meeting with all the cooperators,
right.
The decision makers, as it were, is not a part of this process.
Good.
But all this does, if we were to move on this, is to open up the conversation to bring forward some possible amendments.
Right.
And so with that, I'd ask, any other questions on the East Industrial Area? Because I'd love for you to spend just a second on the Bergeson expansion as well. So two areas that the City of Ames would like to open to look at possible amendments. One is that East Industrial Area, and the other one is some ground, if I'm not mistaken, right down by the Research Park.
Yes. If you remember a year ago when we annexed the property that became the ISU Research Park Phase 3, it included a much broader area, including the several properties on the west side of 530, also known as University Avenue. extending from University Boulevard over to Cedar Lane. As we were moving towards that larger annexation, some of the properties on the west side withdrew their requests at that time. Mm-hmm. So we were left with just the piece between University and South Riverside Drive. Steve Bergeson and Burl Bergeson own some property there along Cedar Lane. We are looking, they are still interested in annexation and development. They also have this 9.5 acre piece outside of our urban reserve area, urban residential area. That quarter section line there was kind of drawn with a broad brush stroke because much of that land south of there is University property. There is this one triangular piece of property that Bergeson owns. They would like to have that included as the urban residential to allow it to be incorporated into their plans as they develop.
With the property they own just to the north of it. Exactly. It doesn't make sense to have those two pieces of property governed in different ways.
It's unlike, I mean, one option is Bergeson could sell it to the county and it would be a piece of, or to the city, to the university and become part of the farm plots that are all down there. But it's got value and he would like to develop that.
Mm-hmm. Questions on that, Wayne?
No.
Okay.
There was some discussion. I just didn't know where we were.
They had come to city council soon after. He was one of the parties that withdrew his application at that time. Now that he's including, he wants to include this 9 acre piece. We went to the city council and they did not want to start the process at that time, the amount of staff time to go through all three jurisdictions and get all the approvals. They said next time we're looking at a larger change to the urban fringe plan, let's roll this one in. So that's why we're doing this in conjunction with the East Industrial.
Makes sense to me. And Charlie, so that you're aware, I am very, very interested in making sure, you know, we've got the framework of the urban fringe plan passed, but like all things, they need to be massaged every once in a while. I am very, very interested in this being the first of probably an annual look at different areas of the urban fringe plan. I know one area that I am highly interested in us looking at a year or so from now is the stretch along North Dakota, which right now is looked at as urban residential back when the city of Ames was planning on annexing out there. And as I understand it, conversations possibly have changed that. And so that's something that, while not part of this, I just want to keep all the cards on the table that that's something we're going to want to talk
about.
We're
talking about North Dakota.
North Dakota.
North of and where the railroad track crosses are.
Yeah, north of there.
North of there.
Yep.
All right.
Some time ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, we had a list of things that we want to look at on the fringe plan. It was a list of like 17 or 19 different pieces. Some were big, some were small, some were medium priority, some were kind of long term things. I think we're in a position where we can start picking that list up and identifying and prioritizing some of those things to look at.
Sure.
The fringe plan covers a lot of area, so I don't know whether there's a benefit to looking at it in quadrants, northeast, northwest, southeast, southwest, or maybe just the two entities, three entities, just identify what are our priority projects and start making those tweaks that maybe.
Yeah, I like the model that's happening now, which in my mind I do view it in quadrants, and I'm basically viewing this as the city of Ames wants to look at the eastern quadrant. Now, you throw the Bergeson in on the south, that's a little different, but wants to look at the eastern quadrant. I just would like to, I'd like everybody to understand that we need to continue to move around and take a look at where it is, because the reality of what we passed the plan in 2010 or 11, but it was on the drawing board for how many years? 8 or 9 at least.
Yeah, at least.
And so this thing from beginning to now, I mean, it's getting close to a dozen years old, I think.
It's not just map amendments. I mean, there are some policy statements,
yep,
some text things that may need to be looked at also.
Good. Other questions for Charlie? All right, so if we approve this, we are approving having the conversation to look at possible amendments.
Yes, that's correct. We will put together formal map change plans that we want to submit and work through your planning commission, city, and Gilbert, and ultimately bring it up to the supervisors and the two city councils for final approval. It takes 2 out of the 3 jurisdictions to initiate this process, it will take all three jurisdictions to approve, or I guess Gilbert has an option where they can just say, you know, it doesn't really impact us, so we're not going to pull on records.
Right. Okay? If there's no other questions, I'd take a motion.
I would move approval of the process to initiate changes in the Ames Urban Fringe Plan.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion or other questions for Charlie? Two.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. It passes. Charlie, thanks for your time this morning. Next item is discussion and direction to staff to compile amendments to the Urban Renewal Plan. Leanne.
Yeah, is that a good name?
So's yours, Clinton.
Yeah, mine is, but I know I ain't touching.
Push the little microphone.
Where?
The one that's flashing. There you go.
Oh. Okay.
So. His battery's not very good.
All this technology, we still got to go through all this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. This is a presentation you've seen several times, so I'll breeze through the very first few slides, but just as a reminder for the board, you have a policy on economic development that uses tax increment financing, and in that you have some goals, objectives, and strategies, and you've taken that a step further and defined four types of projects that can be considered for this financial assistance that is submitted annually to the board. Those four types are transportation infrastructure enhancement, public land and trail improvement, communication utility infrastructure expansion, last Main Street and Town Center revitalization. And then it goes on to say within that section of the economic development policies that private business is not eligible for any rebate, grants, loans, or assistance through this program. And it does also clarify that the applicant is expected to identify a match of at least 25% of the total project costs. And those are guidelines set up by the board annually through your economic development policies. So as you know, over the past couple of weeks, you've been receiving updates on the applications that were submitted by the applicants. You did receive six separate applications from five applicants. City of Slater submitted two applications. Just in detail, Colonesco requested $15,422 for a playground phase three. They've been the recipient of the first two rounds. So then going on, Huxley requested $18,200 for Centennial Park playground expansion. Cambridge has a total project cost of about just under $2 million, but they are requesting $60,000 for construction of a new multifunctional municipal building. Slater, again, as I said earlier, has two applications. The first one is for Main Street improvements. It's a continuation of the project that was funded last year. In that project, they're requesting $46,125. And then the second project for which they are requesting funding is $30,000. And that's for the acquisition of 404, 406 Main Street. And I think the city clerk did demonstrate the concerns with that building. And Story City has a project, the South Park Project Improvements, and they are requesting $80,300. So what's on your agenda for today is to discuss the possible amendments to direct staff to bring forward for amending the Urban Renewal Area Plan. Specifically, and on your agenda was the current plan. Specifically, you're looking at amending three sections of that plan. Section 2, which is the property to be included in the urban renewal area, you would need to remove items number 12, 13, and 21. Just to refresh the board's memory and the memory of those present in the audience, annually the board lists all the projects for which applications are received, and then the next year removes those that were not funded and incorporates all those that were received. I suggest that's a practice that's worked well now three rounds, so That's why numbers 12, 13, and 21 would be removed. Those were two projects from Collins that were not funded, and the application from Story City not funded last year. So again, these are applications received in 2014. Same type of change for Section 5, additional projects. Strike out those projects not funded in 2014. Section 8, the county financial information. This is where you would tally up the projects to be funded and amend that TIF amounts to be used in total indebtedness. And then also, I don't have it on the slide, but obviously you would need to amend the map. The map is a very vital component of the plan to remove those projects not funded in 2014 and add those that were requested in 2015. The schedule that the board has adopted has me before you today with the proposed changes for discussion and some direction, and then officially kicking off the changes with next week. The board will have a resolution setting public hearing dates for the resolution. The resolution is the formal adoption of the plan as amended by the board. The schedule also references an ordinance change. We won't be amending the ordinance this year in the Code of Ordinances because we're not adding any new land to the table that's identified in the Code of Ordinances. So really the only action the board will be taking for public hearing will be the resolution. And then it goes forward from there. Are there any questions for me? Again, this is our third round doing this. And
just again, make sure that in clarification wise, the action here as far as the amendment here is to take action to remove, like in the first section, those items that were initially submitted but were not funded. And if that is passed, then the other items as far as the consideration of the request that we received for this year, that's going to be dealt with at a later time. That is not a part of this action, and basically that's so I am clear in that.
Well, today you're not taking any action on amending the plan at all. That will be done through the public hearing and the action on the resolution. Okay. What you're doing is directing staff to go ahead and start drafting the changes as I've outlined, which does include removing all those and then adding the project requests as were received in 2015.
Good. So nothing happens today, Wayne, except for if we give direction to her to start to do this, and then we would come back and make a decision on it at a later date.
Yeah, you will actually on September, I'm trying to look at this, October 6th is when you'll have the public hearing and discuss the projects.
Yeah.
And how you will amend the plan.
Okay.
Or what projects you will fund.
Okay.
I'll make the amendment to, I'll make the motion to direct the staff to compile the amendments as outlined today in the urban renewal plan.
Second. Motion and second. Further discussion. Leanne, anything to add?
No.
Two.
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Leanne, so directed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Consideration of social media policy after the 7-day review. Alyssa. Alyssa, did we get any comments?
We got a couple.
Okay.
One was just a couple of grammatical things that I did change in there. One thing I do want to point out, when it says employees shall not, it says shall not impersonate the employer. That just means that they won't make statements on behalf of Story County. They won't say Story County is doing this. So I want to clarify that. The other question that I had is that we do have some employees that have a second job or do something outside of their Story County employment, and they have a third-party posting information on their Facebook. I think it's at Hootsuite. I'm not sure exact. That's one of them that was brought to my attention. That would not violate this policy. They are not actually posting anything. They're not logging in. They have it set up so that somebody else does all their advertising for their other business or whatever. So I just wanted to clarify that. Other than that, I received nothing from anybody.
Okay. I haven't heard anything about it.
Wayne, did anybody approach you about anything?
No. You know, I had my conversation with Alyssa, but I was just trying to be the devil's advocate.
Absolutely.
The last meeting, just for clarification, purpose, but it does kind of change my style a little bit there, you know, because I like to kind of look out there and just see what's out there.
So. All right.
I'll move approval of the county's social media policy as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Social media policy is adopted. Thanks, Alyssa.
Now, this doesn't mean that I still can't have Leanne show me how to use Twitter, right?
We have to take a break to do that one.
Well, but now, see, there again, this is part of where we have designated, you know, someone. So as a board, for example, if we want to let the public know via social media, on Twitter account, some of the things that's going on.
Or county's Twitter account.
Or, yeah.
Sure.
That's not for doing that.
Absolutely not.
Okay, good. Knock and I will
that's,
do it
that's
without somebody showing me.
That's
my hashtag would be, I don't know.
The one question that Alyssa brought up to me today is, do we want to go down the road of having IT block, go so far as to block those sites on the county's computers?
On the network.
On our network.
No, because we got multiple entities here that use that as part of their business. No,
my understanding is you can allow that certain people can have access to those sites.
I'm always hesitant. So we've got a policy, you know, we're tobacco free in all our county vehicles, but we don't have monitors in every county vehicle checking.
Correct.
So, I mean, we got a policy. Let's just go with policy. That's, if we find that we're getting abused, then maybe we can change something. But I don't like the idea of being heavy-handed on this thing. The policy is the policy.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Alyssa. Departmental reports, facilities, and management. Cal. Cal, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
It says that with such
conviction. Oh, gosh.
This is my first quarterly report for 2015.
It's been a long time.
Somehow, I've
you kept finding ways to avoid them?
I thought it was you guys. You were avoiding me, but whatever. It worked out. I'm here and ready to go.
All right.
I think it usually involves fish, doesn't it?
Could possibly. All right. Well, I'll start out as we usually do with work orders. Administration building, we've got 108 work orders, one on call. Community life, Justice Center. At the end of the year, I'll probably do a graph chart to show you how this has gone down. But they've been real well to work with. 26 work orders, 10 on calls. They have their own maintenance staff that takes care of minor things. So, right now, from what we see, things are working well with them. Human service, 60 work orders, 4 on calls. Justice Center, 126. Most of them relate to the sheriff's office. I guess we do have it separated with the jail, 45. 3 on calls. Other 7 would be miscellaneous. Total of 372 work orders, 20 on calls, 0 snow days. Some other activities we've been working on was geothermal sump repair at the Justice Center. That work was done by Alliant Energy. We had a group home walkthrough a while ago. I've got another one coming up this week, a quarterly walkthrough. Things were very fine from what I've seen, the way they were taking care of things. So hopefully that'll stay the same in my next walkthrough. We had an issue with the wiring at the administration generator that we've got it taken care of for now, and it'll be just a matter of time to see what happens with the rains and if we've got all the water leaks fixed that were causing the problems. Mowing and lawn care maintenance, you know, we've had a lot of rain, so that's really kept the guys busy. Rick did a real nice job on the Veterans Memorial re-landscaping. It was due for a little change out there. I think he's made that look real nice out there. We're in the process of repainting the generator fuel tank. We're having some issues on agreements with Alliant on that that I hope will be resolved shortly so we can proceed with getting that project done. We assisted the auditor's office with the election setup, and right now we're getting ready for them. They have another small election coming up, so we're getting things ready for that. I think they're going to try that white van out for the first time for elections and see how that goes. And we got the hitch on it and ready to go. So.
And that'll become kind of the traveling vehicle that has different supplies and things like that.
Yeah, I think hopefully it'll work out well for them. We had a small roof leak at Hazel Group Home. We had some wind blowing some water in. We found that problem and took care of that. Sallyport door, they're starting to get old. They get used a lot. We had an issue where the door came down on one of the cars, so we don't know if it was actually a door problem or operator problem, but we are looking into replacing the doors next fiscal year. They do see a lot of use. A lot of library configuration. We move things around up there at the Justice Center so that the county attorney can use that as a conference area. He can get, I think, pretty much all his staff in there.
Jessica, have we used the law library for any meetings at this point?
Yes.
How does it work?
Wonderful. Great. We have our conference room table up there, and we've utilized it for staff meetings and for recent meetings. So it'll be great.
And, Board, what Cal did is he simply moved three of the bookcases just a little further out so that we opened up more central area in that room. It seemed to be working really well. Yeah,
made it more functional, without a doubt.
Yeah, and I just off the clear, I just saw in the paper where it looks like we might be getting a trial here, and that will require some additional configuration, maybe or maybe not. Jessica, what
it's
do you know?
It's hard to put those trials upstairs in the law library, proceeding, because you got the jury up there, so right. We usually just open our office and let them utilize that small conference room. And then we can pop up to the law library, our office, and have some meetings and stuff in lieu of that. We just really can't do our traveling there because we can't create them there with the juror right now.
Our security infill project at the Justice Center is pretty much indefinitely on hold until some financial things are figured out. So
we've got to see what's going to happen with fines recovery. And so it's on hold, Cal, but it's on hold for until we get through a year or so of seeing what this is actually going to do. We can't rely on those revenues right now.
Yeah. We installed some more keyless entry for the clerk of courts. That's something they wanted for a long time. She's extremely happy now that she has that equipment installed in her office. And we also added some additional keyless entry and dispatch on their equipment doors and also on the IT staff door in the area. And there was also an additional fiber optic that was pulled into the Justice Center, which I think was mainly for the treasurer's office here. They put up some microwave towers and they shoot so that they can use the internet a lot faster now. That's what I believe that was. That was added for. In closing, I just have a couple more comments. Earlier in the year, one of the staff realized that hard hats have a expiration life on them that we never knew. We had 20-year-old hard hats. I talked to a certain individual at 3M Ames Work, and they were happy to donate 15 brand-new hard hats to the facilities management department, which was real nice of them to do. So that was appreciated. In closing, I'd just like to compliment the board on the restructuring since July 1st. I don't think you could have picked two better individuals for the director of internal operations and external operations. I worked with them before they were in these positions. I've worked with them both now that they're in those positions, and it's really nice to have people that are willing to help out when issues come about and try and resolve them. So.
Well, thank you, Cal. Appreciate that. I have one thing that I'd like you and the board or you and me to dig into and get to the end of, and that is the animal control building, what we're going to do there. we got two options. We can either look at acquiring or building a new animal control building, or look at purchasing the one that animal control currently exists in. There's positives and negatives with both of those possibilities, and Cal, we just need to get to the end of that. So I would suggest that we look at having a meeting over at Animal Control at some point this fall, where you can go through, if we were to stick with the building we have, exactly what would need to be done to bring it up to a public building kind of specifications. Jessica and Ethan, I'd look to you guys. I'm sure that'll need to be a public meeting. If the three of us are showing up and going through that, it would, in my mind anyway, be more of an informational kind of thing, where it'd be an opportunity for our animal control director to go through and show us what she likes about the building, and for Cal to go through and show us what needs to happen to that building if we were to acquire it. From that information, we can make the decision once and for all of whether we're acquiring a new building or acquiring land to build a new building, or if we're going to proceed with trying to acquire that existing building. But it needs to happen sooner rather than later, because if I'm not mistaken, we've got a lease through the end of June next year. And so we need to make some decisions about what direction we're headed. I know you're out here for a little bit, but maybe when you're back in October, we can get that up to the top of the shelf of what we need to deal with. Anything else for Cal?
No.
Cal, you do a great job. Thank you.
I had said something to Rick the other day about the job he did out front here, and I think he does a good job. I think he enjoys doing that stuff. I know he did some work on the west side last summer, and I think he's got plans for the area around the cannon the next summer. So
I believe he does too, and I think it enhances the property quite a bit.
He does a nice job.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cal.
Mm-hmm.
Other reports. TIF funding update from Lisa Barkley. Lisa, I love it when you're the last one in our
me too.
Every week. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Is the speaker still green?
Huh?
Is that speaker
still
green?
Yeah, mine's still green.
Yeah. Okay, so I handed out, we've had the discussion many, many, many times that the projected revenues are always a moving amount. And I actually just updated them again this morning, FYI. But let's talk about the top portion of this form. What I'm telling you up there is what we've actually spent for different projects, for TIF projects that we've done. The balance carried forward into FY16 of projects is the $265,435. That is the $65,000. You guys approved some of these extensions from the last time, so that's what that is. It's $265,000 worth of projects you've committed to that haven't asked for money yet. The middle area is how much we've borrowed to date against our TIF funds. So the balance due on the $3.1 million that we borrowed originally is $2.2 million. And the balance that we borrowed in the $159,200 is $85,000. We didn't borrow anything in 15 because we collected almost exactly those amount of revenues. Actually, we were short a little bit.
We only borrowed on three projects, right? Of all the projects that we've done involving the urban renewal area, we borrowed on Dakin's Lake, we borrowed on the Vetter Roadway, and we borrowed on the bike trail on Country Club running south out of Nevada. But that's all we borrowed on against those wind towers.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Any questions on that up to that point? Okay. So the projection balances of unused TIF dollars. The first 3 years are actual. This is actually what we brought in revenues, what we paid out in debt obligation, what the balances were for those FYs, and what when we've spent dollars up on top, obviously. So for FY15, we brought in $619,000 worth of revenues. We had debt obligation of $410,500. We had a balance for the fiscal year of $208,000 and a total balance of $219,000. We owe $265,000, so we're short about $46,000 at this point in time, which we'll be bringing in as we speak, probably some revenues.
Mm-hmm.
For the FY16 budget, I'm projecting $850,000 worth of TIF revenues. We have the debt obligation of $398,000. We will have a total balance of $670,000, but we need to subtract the $265,000, which brings us to a balance of $405,322.
Right.
Okay?
And we got requests for $250,000.
Correct.
If we were to just approve everything that was requested for this year, Wayne, what Leanne went through with us, we got requests for $250,000, and we're going to have $405,000 sitting there. So even if we approved all of those, it would not involve any borrowing this year.
Correct.
Okay, now, what I see in the 405, I'm looking at your sheet here.
You got to
do some traction.
Yeah. Oh, got it. Oh, yeah, so you got 670 minus the 265 that we have.
Ah, thank you. Well, you know.
Well, I didn't want to project.
And so just to be completely clear, or try to be as clear as possible, the projections that you show from 16 through 22 assume no more borrowing. So if a project were to come forward, and I'll use the research part because it's the one that I think is going to come forward at some point, if that were approved by this board utilizing TIF, then that would require some more borrowing, which would change our debt obligation.
Correct.
Which would change the way the rest of these numbers look.
Correct.
And is this just the 50% of the TIF
Correct.
Revenues?
Yeah.
So when you show 850 coming in,
that's
in
the
this,
50%.
We also have another 850 that's going straight in the general fund.
Correct.
Right. And remind me of the three areas that we've designated those dollars.
We've designated dollars into community betterment, mm-hmm. small communities, and capital improvements.
Okay. And then another third just into the general fund.
Yes.
Okay. Questions for Lisa?
No.
I appreciate so much. I know that this is extra work for you guys to stay on top of this stuff. I really appreciate the way you go about it. And it gives us the flexibility to do some of the things that we as a board feel like need to be done.
And you have to do this anyway because you've got to make a report now, don't you, every year?
Correct.
Yeah, as of a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. No action required here. This is just...
That's my understanding.
Thank you very much. Okay. All right. That gives us the public forum number two, opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on today's agenda. If there's anyone wishing to do so, please approach the microphone. Board may not take action on your... comments, but we may do so in the future. All right. Liaison assignments. Paul.
Pass.
Wayne.
Pass.
Announcement supervisors. Paul.
I got my first email yesterday after the tax statements went out, so that season has started.
Oh, good.
And I just want to compliment the sender. I mean, he went through his tax statement and realized that we had raised the levy and had some questions on that. So.
Absolutely.
I sent him a response. I haven't heard back from him. So.
And I'll just point out that the levy's still lower than the first time the three of us sat down together.
Exactly.
Even though we took it low, and now it came back up a little bit. Announcements.
I have to apologize to Leanne. Leanne, I had not put my ISAC outing on my calendar until you sent that request, so I would not be available for that. Then on Thursday, IMWCA trustees, I will be attending that workers' comp trustee in Des Moines coming up. And I do want to say to the public that might be listening tonight in Ames, and I know there's a candidates forum, and whether you live in Ames or in our surrounding communities, we really want to encourage people to get out and participate in the school board elections. This is a certainly an important area to select people to manage our schools, and I hope that people will seriously learn about the various candidates and then exercise their right to vote, which will be on the 8th, I believe.
All right, my announcement, I'll be in Montana on September 22nd and miss our board meeting that day, so Paul, you got it.
Okay.
If there's nothing else, I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Adjourn. Thank you, everybody.